Welcome back to Glade Talks, a podcast designed to encourage and strengthen our church family one conversation at a time. My name is Anahi and I'm working as a ministry trainee for the Glade Church this year. Today, I'm joined by Bryony and Stephen to chat about our church vision and values. I'm really looking forward to this conversation, but can we just start by hearing a little bit about you guys?
Great. I'm Bryony. I've been part of the Glade Church for 6 years. Outside of that, I spend time in my day job working in people analytics for a management consultancy. And other than that, I love running, cooking, and eating good food with friends.
And I'm Stephen. I've been part of the Globe almost from the start, and I'm one of the elders here. My day job, I work as an administrator for the pharmacy degree at King's College London. I'm married to Jane, who is the CEO of a school academy trust, and I'm also a Watford Football Club supporter and enjoy the theatre, and one of those events is often more dramatic than the other.
It's so great to have you guys on the podcast, so thank you so much in advance for your time and your thoughts. I'm excited to chat to you guys about Globe's vision and values. And what a great discussion to listen into, especially if you're new at Globe, because you get to see a little bit about who we are and what we're all about at Globe. But it's also worth saying, even if you have been at Globe for a while, we do hope that this will be a useful and clarifying conversation for us as well, because it's always good to have a refresher of who we are and what we're doing. And it feels particularly relevant right now because, as we will discuss, our values have adapted slightly, haven't they? And those of you who have been around church over the last 3 weeks will know that we've gone from 4 values to 5 values. But before we jump into our values, it's probably quite helpful to chat a bit about our vision. What makes up the fabric of the Globe Church? What is it that makes us distinct? And this is expressed in our vision statement, which is: the Globe Church is all sorts of people following Jesus in London, sent on the greatest mission. The Globe Church is all sorts of people following Jesus in London, sent on the greatest mission. Which beautifully encapsulates who we are and what we're trying to do. But I don't know about you guys, for me sometimes I hear a vision statement and it sort of just washes over me. So I wonder if we could just take one each and flesh it out a bit. Stephen, would you like to kick us off with all sorts of people?
Yeah, thanks, Anahi. I guess look around on a Sunday. We read in Revelation 7, the writer says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language." That is what God is building. That is the church that he's building here on earth, and also at the Globe Church and across London. A church should reflect its community. A church should reflect its city. And yes, at the Globe, the majority of people that we have are professionals in their 20s or 30s or students. But there are also older people like me. There are young families. There are those from different nationalities, different backgrounds, different characters, all united together as a family. In a global city. And that's what a church should look like. Whether you're here at Globe for the long term or whether you're here for a much shorter period of time, just different people from different backgrounds, different characters, all coming together to live for Jesus in this great city of London.
Which is the next bit, which is following Jesus in London. And I guess I've thought about this a bit as like, part one of that is that we're following Jesus, and part two of that is in London, although they totally go together. And we see how Jesus calls his first disciples in Matthew 4 to Andrew and Peter. He says, "Come, follow me." And this is the call that is the same for us. We're to come, we're to follow him. And we're all sorts of people, but we're united in following Christ, and we want to be more like Jesus. And we live in different parts of the city, as Stephen was saying, come with different life experiences, but we are united in our ambition to be following Jesus, to live like him, and that our decisions would be shaped by him. And as a result of that, our lives would be a reflection of his. So there's a real focus at Globe on teaching and allowing the Bible to shape who we are, and to teach us and guide us as we're trying to live lives that look more like that of Jesus. And the Bible is really rich. It is the very word of God. We hear that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it tells us that we've been given God's truths, his word, so that we are thoroughly equipped for every good work. And we want to make sure we're making the most of that as church family together. And London life, I guess, is a really unique experience. If anyone knows me, they know I really love the city. But it is big, it is busy, it's distracting, and it is really important that we're grounded in truth, that we're being taught how to live a life that isn't just caught up in the busyness, in the distractions, but is focused on Jesus. And for a lot of people, London isn't for a long time. People come, people go, and this teaching is important for all of life and wherever you are, but we really do want to help people make the most of their time whilst they're here in the city, and to hear from God's word together, to have that taught to us, and to let that shape and change us however long people are part of our family at Globe. And also part of that is to equip church to teach others to do the same, to encourage and spur one another on as we follow Jesus, which segues nicely back to you, Anahi.
Yes, it does. Thank you, Bryony. So the final bit of this mission statement is we are sent on the greatest mission. And as you said, Bryony, people do move in and out of London all the time. And actually, that's one of the things that makes living in London so exciting. But yeah, I think as a church, we do want to recognise this dynamic, and that the reality is that people are going to constantly be coming in and going. And therefore, we want to equip people to take the gospel with them wherever they go when they leave. Why? Well, because as much as we talk about Globe's mission statement, Jesus has already given us the mission statement, which of course is the command that Jesus gives his disciples in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, which says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So we will do well to reflect Jesus's mission statement in ours, which is why we want to be a church family that cares about mission. And sure, this might look different for different people, but we do want to live as those who take the gospel out to all nations. I sort of like to think of it as like four rings to which we can go. So as a church, we go to SE1, we go to Greater London, we go to the UK, and we go to the world. Us taking the gospel out to all nations starts in Elephant and Castle in SE1, because this is where church is based geographically. We care about this area and we love these people and we want to be praying for these people and reaching out to them with the gospel. But we also go to Greater London because that's where many of us will live and work. So we want to prayerfully take the gospel there too. Some of us will move to different parts of the UK for various different reasons. So we want people leaving Globe to other churches in the UK to go with a firm grasp on what the gospel is. And of course, any other skills that they might have picked up whilst they were with us, for example, maybe learning how to lead a Bible study or knowing how to do tech or feeling happy catering for loads of people, then that's a bonus that they can take with them as well. And then finally, some of us will go to the world. We might move to different parts of the world to serve God in those environments, and we want to take the gospel with us. Our last podcast episode was on this topic of cross-cultural mission. So if you want to hear that in much more depth, then please feel free to check that out. Thank you guys, that was really, really helpful just to sort of get an idea of which direction we're walking in. And some people listening in might be like, yeah, that's great to have those ambitions, but we're not there yet. For example, our church isn't as diverse as it could be. Like, I think that's fair enough, but it's helpful to know from the Bible what is it that is framing our vision and which direction are we walking in. We might not have arrived, but it's good to know which direction we're trying to go as a church family. Like we said at the start, we have added a fifth value to our four original ones. So our church values are now dependent, relational, discipling, missional, and generous, with dependent being the new one that we've added on. So Stephen, as I understand it, this was something that the elders have been thinking and praying about for a while, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, in a sense, it's not ideal to add a fifth value, but to be honest, it's one that we can't function without, because this is God's church, first and foremost, not ours. Yes, it's right that we come up with strategies. Yes, it's right that we have plans, but they are nothing without him. It's one of many ways in which a church differs from your local book club or your local running club, because it belongs to God. I'm not even trusted with Lego because my DIY skills are so poor, never mind house building. But we read in Psalm 127, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labour in vain." Yes, God uses us, but the business of changing lives is his, which is why we need to be dependent on him in prayer. We need his help. We need his power. We can't go it alone, because if we try, we are literally just wasting our time and our energy. And there's a wonderfully liberating verse in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, where the Apostle Paul writes from actually a place of being in prison, saying, "Pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message." Who is giving the message? Us. God's entrusted that to us. But who opens the door? It's God, because ultimately it's his message. And we as a church just need to be completely dependent on him, knowing that we need him to go before us, to give us the strength to go forth with his message, and that he would open the doors for us. I did the Cornhill training course, Bible training course, back in 2007, and Christopher Ash, who led the course at that time, was constantly reminding us that we need to give God the microphone. And so often we want to take that back for ourselves and say our own thing and go our own way, but just remember that as a church we are dependent on him, and we need, as the Globe Church, day by day to give God the microphone.
Yeah, that's really, really helpful. And just as you were speaking that, I was reminded of Jesus and how he lived dependent on the Father. Like, he was literally the Son of God with so much power and wisdom. And yeah, in John 15, it says, without me, you can do nothing. Like, where Jesus talks about abiding in him. So I think that's just really helpful to remember. As a church family, we are dependent on God and we do want to lean on him. So it's probably something that we've been doing right from the start, but it's good to have it in black and white written as a reminder to all of us that we live dependent on God. So yeah, it's good to just have that slight clarification and sharpening in our values. And something that has changed ever so slightly is actually how we think about the ministries and how they interact with our values. So historically, we used to categorize ministries under different values. So for example, a ministry like Weber Street would be seen as fitting into missional and relational bucket. And just to explain quickly, Weber Street is our outreach to the homeless community in London, where once a month we host a meal for the guests, with the hopes of serving and building friendship with some of the homeless people in our area. And then someone from church will give a Bible talk as well. So yeah, previously we would think of a ministry like this as falling into specific church values, but now we are moving away from that sort of language and seeing the values less as buckets, but more like a sieve through which every ministry passes through. So, for example, when we look at a ministry like Weber Street, we think that ministry helps us to be dependent, because for it to work, we must pray. For the talks to make any impact on our guests, we must pray. For there to be enough volunteers and for the venue and the food to work, we must pray. And for the guests to keep showing up and to feel loved and cared for, we must pray. We are dependent on God and each other for every aspect of this ministry. And outlining that in our values just helps us remember this and adopt the right posture, sort of like what Stephen was saying about us not trying to do things in our own strength, but actually relying on God because it's his work.
Yeah, and it's interesting what you were saying around how historically we would categorise kind of ministries under their particular values and they'd be bucketed. And not that any of that was wrong or that things have kind of changed hugely, but I think it's really helpful to think about that sieve analogy you've got, and actually so many of them are guided by each of our values and to think about that as a whole and have a bit of a framework for how we think through what we're doing and why we're doing it more holistically has been really helpful. And even just as I was reflecting on Weber Street specifically, how that it doesn't have to just be bucketed in these categories, but actually is broader. So I just thought it was really interesting.
Mm.
But I guess as we think about Weber Street and how that is relational, we want to be a church that embraces being a church family, to be building relationships with one another, to be committed to caring for each other, and helping each other as we live for Jesus in this city. And so that is really important for us within the church, as we commit to one another and share our lives together. But we weren't ever built to just be a bubble inside of our church walls, and we reflect the love of God who sent his son so that we might be in relationship with him. And this will of course cross over with other values, but it's that love and it's that relationship that we want to share beyond our church family. And so as we, I guess, partner with Weber Street and with London City Mission, as we meet the guests and eat dinner together, this is a relational act. There's something really beautiful in the act of eating a meal together, and that's a way of modelling how Jesus interacted with those around him. I find it's so encouraging and cool to see that so much of Jesus' teaching was around food. Very famously, the last thing he did with his disciples was around a meal together. And it is a really precious way of deepening relationships and sharing Jesus' heart for people as you do that.
Yeah, and I think that leads really clearly into the discipling value. The strapline under that is equipping a generation to live all of life for Jesus, with him front and centre. And at the Globe, we're very conscious that it is all about Jesus. Actually, with the guests at Weber Street, it must never just be a one-off that we do once a month and then we fly away and go and do something else. We've had the real joy and privilege of a number of the guests over the years becoming part of our church family. That's been a real blessing, but also a responsibility to get alongside them and continue to show them the love of Jesus and to equip them to live for him and to see the wonderful life-changing power of his word. So yes, we are looking to disciple the guests. Also, there's discipling for those who volunteer month after month, that commitment of doing something regularly, of going back time after time, of building relationships. And then for the whole church as well, as we welcome people, as we share in the joy of doing this together, as we equip one another to live the whole of our lives for Jesus. And of course, what is it that changes lives? Well, it's the good news of the gospel. And that's where the missional aspect comes in. Sharing that Jesus is the way to salvation. And that, of course, comes hand in hand with loving and caring and helping practically. It's very easy, isn't it, sometimes to just say, I'll pray for you. And it becomes a little bit of a get-out clause. But we absolutely must be praying for the whole ministry associated with Weber Street, but also to know that practical help and care and love, providing food, providing conversation, is an absolutely key part of getting alongside people and then trusting the Lord Jesus to do his work of transformation, because as we said earlier, that's his business. We go forth with the message, we share that in word and deed and action, and then we trust the Lord to do his business in terms of changing hearts.
Which is also just really encouraging and helpful to think about as we look at what it means to be generous, particularly in this ministry. And I think, Stephen, that reminder that the great mission from Jesus was never to build a name for ourselves, and so as a church we want to be generous in how we reach out. We want to commit to sharing our resources and being part of the wider church that he is building, which in turn is also a reflection of Christ's generosity to us. I think it's actually interesting as we look at all of the values that they're not kind of nice to have buzzwords or things that we just think about and hope that stuff will fall into, but actually they're a reflection of what Christ has done for us. Or ways that he's gone first. Like, we have an example to follow. We're not just kind of blindly hoping that some of this will work out. And so I think as we think about serving Webber Street and the guests there, we want to be generous with our time, with our energy, with our prayers, that we would reflect Christ in his generosity in that community.
Yeah, that's right. And like, it's been helpful to flesh this out, thinking specifically about Webber Street, but we could do this with loads of different ministries that we serve in. So yeah, maybe that could be a cool little thing to do. Like, if you're involved in a different team, maybe you're part of the catering team or English Conversation Cafe or maybe Globe Football or Netball or whatever it is, just sort of like sit with these values and prayerfully think, how are we living out these values in the way that we serve our community and those in our church? And we've talked specifically about ministries, but we do want these values to shape who we are as a church. And I'm sure we could all go around and share experiences of how we have been dependent on God, how we have experienced church as a relational place, how we have benefited from people's generosity. I know that I've got stories, how we've come alongside others and been involved in the Great Commission, and also how we've been discipled. So we really, yeah, I guess we want these values to come to life and not just be words that we see on the screen on a Sunday, but know that it, yeah, breathes and weeps into everything that we do as a church family. So I really hope that that's been sort of an enriching conversation for you to listen into. Thank you so much, Stephen and Bryony, for joining me for this conversation. And thank you guys, of course, for listening. Hope that that's been clarifying and encouraging for you. Join us next time for our next episode. Goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.